Praise be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be here. And let's start with a word of prayer. Let us just bow our heads before God and call upon His name. He is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
This day God is among us. His presence is overflowing.
Amen.
And as we were singing together to glorify His name, I believe the presence of the Lord has touched many of you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise
Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for this time. We thank You for this hour.
Thank You.
And You have brought me here once again.
Amen.
I was here in 2017. Now You have brought me this year, oh Father Jesus.
Amen.
That I may come and testify and speak Your word.
Amen.
From this place, oh God. Though the man of God who was leading this ministry for so many years has passed away and is resting, O Father. But still we know Your hand is mightily here.
Amen.
You have appointed the other leaders, O God, to lead and continue this ministry and fellowship, O Father.
Amen.
I pray in Jesus' name today, God, You may open their eyes.
Amen.
And sanctify my lips.
Amen.
Lord, it should not be Shadrach, it should be You who's speaking today, O Father.
Amen.
I pray, O God, You may touch the hearers. Lord, sanctify their hearts, open their ears to hear the word. Let Your grace and mercy be here, O Father. We ask You to anoint us mightily today. We commit everything, O Lord, into Thy precious hands. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's really been wonderful to be here among you. And I think it's been 8 years is quite a long time, because there have been other ministers coming here very often. But after 2017, I became so busy with my India ministry. Though the Lord called me in 1993, I was a 19-year-old boy when Brother Richard Gann had come to India. It was in a place called Nasrapur, in the state of Maharashtra, Pune. And that is when I was introduced to Brother Gann's ministry, though I have read his books before. But it was in that convention. You know, I think I need to give a big testimony. Maybe I have reserved it for I think April 27. I'll be back again. But that was the time when I realized my call. It was a 5 days convention, and Brother Gann was introducing eternity to eternity chart, and he preached from that. And I tell you, it was like heaven coming down. You know, after the convention was over, everyone, we were hugging each other, brothers and sisters, and we were crying like little children. And after that, I have not seen any convention like that. I've attended many conventions. Even I have, you know, we have arranged some conventions, but that love and that spirit which was poured on those days, that was something different. So that is the time I realized my call. So it's been a hard journey for me, since today we have two services. You know, I will take my time. And also we have some, I think we have a healing service. I'm just, I'm being led by the Spirit of the Lord to pray, but all those of who wants to be prayed for, as you are seated there in your place, you can start praying to God. Okay? Once my preaching is over, I would like to pray for you. So may the Lord heal you today. That's my prayer. Now, I planned this trip at least 6 months before, because I was having a plan to go to Philippines, and that was the time when I had a talk with Brother Zoel and Brother Prasanna. Then they decided that Brother Shadrach, he should come via Singapore. Because for the past 2 years, I wanted to come here, especially after Brother Gan passed away. Because when Brother Gan passed away, I was in Philippines. So I couldn't make it here. And these 2 years, again, I know that this church has been settling down in many things. So I think this is the time that Lord has given me to come here. You know, I would like to share my testimony. I have never shared it because last time when I came, I just had, I had to preach, you know. To be very frank, when I came here to preach last time, I was trembling. Because, you know, Brother Gan, to me, is like a spiritual father. And, you know, we grew under his ministry in my younger days. To come and stand and preach before your own teacher. Sometimes the principal is there and the principal tells you, you know, you need to speak on this subject, you know. You know the feel, right? 10 minutes I was shivering. And I was just looking at him. You know, and after 10 minutes, the Lord really anointed me because I was praying. I said, Lord, anoint my lips. And then the message went. And that is where, you know, I preached on the missing color of Vatican, which is there on the website. And after that message, I received call to Lebanon and many other places. You see, I grew up, so I want to share my testimony. My father hails from he comes from the state of Maharashtra in India. And I would say, you know, I don't want to speak anything. I don't want that you people feel that I'm boasting or something. But fact is a fact. My father hails from a king's family. And they are all royal family, but my mother was a middle class. My father married my mother as a second wife in 1970s, 69, I think. But I was born after 7 years in 1975. My mother was a Seventh-day Adventist, but after marrying my father was a Hindu. So after marrying my father, my mother completely changed her religion. She became so much deep into the Hindu worship of all kind of idols and things. So I also grew up in that condition. As I was growing up, you know, we Indians have, Brother Prasanna will understand our Indian culture. And, you know, you go to temples to shave your hair. You know, you go give your hair to the gods and goddesses. And I was taken to different temples, you know, every time, every year, once in every 2 years, or once in every 3 years, you go, shave off your hair, give it to the gods. Because Indians are very clever. They know they cannot cut their hand or fingers and, you know, your ears, it is not going to grow back. So, you know, you go give something to the gods and goddesses. And I was always in the temple. For some reason... Because my mother was very religious and she used to drag me to the temple. But my father was like, you know, he was the kind of person who never used to like these temple pujaris, we call the priests in the temple. They said, these priests are all cheating. But my mother was very religious. So from temple to temple, we keep going. Even we went to a place called Rameshwaram, where in the temples you have 22 different wells, you know. So in every well, you will find a priest standing there. Some well, you know, the water will be very cold. Now, I don't know what kind of technology they used in those years. Some well will be, the water will be warm. You know, something will be normal temperature. And you go in every well, you know, when we go there, you give some money to the priest, and then he will take one pot of water, draw one pot of water and pour it on you. You know, this is done in belief that all your family curses, your sins, everything will go and there will be prosperity in your life. But you see, God has already chosen me. He separated me from my mother's womb, so God knows better since He had predestinated me. Nothing that we considered as blessing actually worked on us. The more we went into Hinduism, the more trouble we had. And I was growing up, and you know, my father's first wife's family, my father has so much of property. The first wife's family were always, you know, they wanted to see that I get nothing. So, one of my brother, there were two brothers from my stepmother and one sister, and one brother passed away. Now one brother is alive and sister is alive. But my mother tried all her best to do whatever possible it is to bring me closer to my dad. But for some reason, my father was always like, you know, separating me. There was no emotional attachment with my father. Yeah, so I grew up in a situation where I didn't even know what father's love is. Now, sometimes today, I look at all the believers, you know, I say, how blessed you people are. You know, today, if I have received some love, then that love I have received only from the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I call Him Abba Father. Now, as days went by, I was growing up, I became very angry. Because I did not know. I said, I worship so many gods, but no gods are, you know, speaking to me. No gods are helping me. So in my teenage, I started to have all very rich friends, you know. Friends who have big hotels. Friends who are connected with politics. Because my dad's family was also connected with politics. And slowly I started to move around with my friends. And when I was 15 years old, they had put me in a boarding school, my mother. So we guys used to roll, you know, papers and make cigarette out of it and try to smoke that. And as days went by, I was 16 years old, I got my first cigarette. And when you smoke that cigarette, you feel, you know, You're somebody, some great person, you know. That kind of pride comes into you when you smoke that cigarette. And I took the first puff and later on, this became an addiction. I was so angry with my life. I was searching for the meaning of this life. So I said, what is the point of me going behind all these idols? What is the point of me going from temple to temple and praying? And my mother was saying, don't lose heart. A time came when my father got separated. When he retired from his job, he went back to Maharashtra. My stepmother's family never permitted him to come back. And that is when our entire life, everything, it comes down. There's a big trouble now. We don't know how to live. My mother's sister, one of the sisters became a widow and her two daughters were also with us. So I was angry with life. So I started to go with my friends trying to search for comfort in different ways. And I started to smoke. And slowly there were some big brothers, you know, friends who are much elder to me in age. So we used to go with them and sometimes I used to visit the bars, have some drinks, You know, that I thought that was peace. I even came to a situation where I wanted to take drugs, but thank God the Lord saved me. He didn't permit me. Now, as I went to this kind of life, I became very rebellious. I was angry with my mother. I was angry with my father. I never used to respect anybody in the home because I said, what kind of life is this? What kind of life you have given to me? Then you see, a time came. My grandmother was somebody who was a convert who did not leave Christianity like my mother. She was attending a Pentecostal church, but she was one lady who used to always, always pray for me. If you have praying mothers, if you have praying grandmothers, grandfathers, blessed are you. You know, she was praying. And every time she prays, I used to really make fun of her in those days. Actually, when she's fasting, you know, I was a terrible devil at the time. When she's fasting, I will take nice mutton, chicken and go and keep it because my grandmother will be kneeling down and praying like this. Yesu, Yesu, Yesu. So in a vessel, I'll keep nice mutton and chicken and go keep it down. You know, in India, we call that as vada. And what do you say that here, brother? Same vada, right? These are some snacks. You know, the aroma is so good. Especially when you're fasting, when that aroma comes, you want to lose your fasting. You want to stop your fasting. So I'll go and keep all those things there. And my grandmother used to smell that, huh? The Lord Jesus, where is the smell coming? Vada smell. And suddenly she'll open her eyes and see the vadas are there. Then she'll realize, Lord, my naughty grandson, I pray for him, Lord Jesus. You touch him. You know, she went on praying and praying. My grandmother had a room. You know, outside the room we had our own puja room. Puja room is the place where we keep all idols. We keep the photos of the idols and we keep praying to the gods. We call that as puja. You know, that's a service that we do for the gods. My grandmother will be praying in a room and here we will be doing the puja. It was like a war, actually. And my grandmother told me, one day she said, you're trying to escape from Jesus. But let me tell you this. A time will come when you will carry this Bible and roam from state to state, country to country, and street to street. And that is what I'm doing now. Hallelujah. That is what I'm doing now. I cannot stop. My journey is not stopping. I think my journey will end when I go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my grandmother prophesied. That day, something hit me. But I said, okay, she's just joking. And the pastors who used to come to my home, they used to always testify. You know, sometimes Pentecostal pastors, you know, they try to get into you and try to force you to become Christians. In India, you know, that's the case. So I was very angry with one of the pastors and I told the pastor, see, if Jesus will speak to me, then I'll accept this Jesus. Until then, you shut up. I told him that. He was an elderly man. He was shocked because I never used to respect anybody. So he said, but he was very quiet. And he said, my old name is Arjun. Okay, my Hindu name is Arjun, not Shadrach. So he said, Arjun, let me tell you something. You want Jesus to speak to you, he will speak to you. And he left that day. After that, he stopped telling about Jesus. It so happened one day in our living room, we had a statue of Krishna. You know Krishna, the god with the flute? You have, sir, anybody? No, I mean only our Indian brother. You know, sister. Okay, our Indian brother. Know that brother? Yes. Our Indian brothers know about it. You know, there's a flute, an idol of a statue of Krishna with a flute. So my mother was like she went into high depression. Father has separated from us. Now we are in a mess. There is no income in our family. There is nothing. So my mother was sitting, I and my mother were in our home. There was nobody else, no rats, no cats, no dogs, just me and my mother. Because I'm saying this for a reason. Now that night, it was about 10:30 in the night when my mother went to Krishna God and said, "Hey, Krishna." This is how she spoke, huh? "I have been doing pujas for you, worshipping you for so many years. You have not answered me. Now I'm going to give you a challenge. If you are a true God, by morning, you should prove it to me." And then she goes straight into our puja room. You know, where we have all the other gods. You know, in this puja room, my grandmother advised, at least keep one small Jesus photo inside. So Jesus photo was a small photo because, you know, oh, poor fellow, he's also another god. You know, so we had kept a photo. So my mother went straight to that, looking at the photo of Jesus. And said, "Jesus, now I don't know who you are. If you are a true God, you need to prove it before morning." So she spoke to Krishna. She spoke to Jesus. And I'm standing and watching. What's happened to my mom? Something has gone wrong. She's become crazy. I just went to her. I said, "Mommy, are you all right?" She said, "No, I have spoken to the gods. I spoke to Krishna. I spoke to Jesus." I said, "No, I was seeing. I was watching. I know. But why? Why are you speaking to them? They are not going to answer you." "No, I've come to the end of my life. I need to have an answer. Because so much of pujas were done in our home. You know, there were even some temples in Kerala. You have a place called Guruvayur, where you have big scales, you know, where a human being can go and sit on one scale. So when I go and sit, say, for example, if my weight is 50 kilos, you place 50 kilos of rice, sugar, and you give it to the gods. So we have been doing all these kinds of things for so many years. And our lives are becoming miserable and miserable day by day. So my mother said, all these years I've done these pujas, I've done everything, but nothing is working out. So my mother decided, I said, oh, something is wrong with my mother. Tonight I'll not talk to her. I'd better go to sleep. I went to sleep and morning, early in the morning at 6:30, she wakes me up and she comes, "Come and see what has happened." She screamed in such a way that I just jumped from my bed and I ran. I went to the living room to see Krishna's head is cut and placed down on the ground. Hallelujah. There's no hallelujah. Just like when the ark was going, the dragon fall down. You know, and we ran to our puja room to see every photo of idols. We had a glass covering. And every glass, there is a crack. But the small photo of Jesus remained as it is. Hallelujah. That very day, you know, my mother removed, we call it as potu, tilak. What do you say, Brother Thomas? Same, tilak, you know. That's a sign for a married woman. They keep that red thing over there. You know, my mother removed it like that. I said, "What happened to you now?" He said, "I'm going to worship Jesus from today." I said, "So why do you have to remove this?" Because if she removes this, it means my father's dead. Only widows, you know, they don't keep the tilak anymore. I said, "Why are you doing this? Our father's just separated. You want to worship Jesus, you worship Jesus, but why do you have to remove this? My father's not dead." He said, "See, you never spoke to Krishna, did you? You never spoke to Jesus. I challenged and I got an answer. Whatever you want to do, you do. But from today, I'm going to serve Jesus." I said, "Lord, now what a big headache." Then I ran. And there was a photo of Shiva, you know, in my Shiva, you know, the Linga and Shiva. I went to Shiva. I said, "Hey, Shiva, don't go out of this house. Something has happened to my mother." I really started to pray. I said, "Oh, now what has happened? My mother changed. Now should I become a Christian?" My fear was, you know, in those days, Pentecostal people used to wear white and white. So my fear was, if I become a Christian, I have to keep on wearing white and white every day. No, I don't want to become a Christian. You know, I was so scared. And then, it so happened, my mother started to pray for me. Now I became very angry. So I went and started to smoke more cigarettes. I said, what is happening now in my house is going crazy. Because there is no God. Nobody is going to come and comfort you or help you out. There is no God. So I started to smoke more cigarettes. In a day, buy 1, 2, 3 packets, finish it off. And my mother was praying for me, but I'll be a very nice boy at home. Huh? Nobody can find out what I'm doing. So there was some special, we call that as pan sweet. You know, pan, mutai irukku brother, pan sweet, we take it, you know, I put it in my mouth and nicely take it out and rub it in my hands. You know, there is no smell of cigarette in my hands or in my mouth. So when I go home, nice, sweet boy. So innocent. You know, this was the kind of thing I was living. Something around 6 months, something happened. As my mother started to pray, in my anger, I purchased a Bible just to find fault with the Bible. See, look at the leading of the Lord. The Lord has very mysterious ways to make us take the Bible in our hands. I said, I went and joined one very anti-Christian group. Today it is called as RSS in India. You know, the government, BJP government, RSS, it's all the same. Connected together. I said, I need to find something wrong, fault with this Bible. To find fault, I started to read the Bible. But as I was reading the Bible is convicting me of my mistakes. Martin Luther said, the Bible has hands, it can serve. The Bible has eyes, it can see. Bible has ears, it can hear. The Bible has mouth, it can speak. And the more I read to find fault with the Bible is finding fault with me. I said, whoa, what kind of book is this? Some magic book? How can the Bible, how is that? I've read Ramayana, I've read Mahabharata, I've read Bhagavad Gita, I've read all my Hindu religious books. But no book spoke to me. But here there is a voice from this word. There's a voice coming inside my heart. Yeah. I said, how is this possible? And, you know, I was all confused. One day, I said, Lord, I don't know what is happening to me. I took the Bible in my hand. I was in my bedroom. I was all alone. It was about 7 o'clock. You know, in our wall, it was a 16 by 10 room. 16 length and 10 breadth. There's a, tube light at that side, a light. At this side, there is no light. I'm standing in between, just taking the scriptures to read. And suddenly, towards my right side, there is a light like a fire. And in a moment of time, from that fire, there is a voice calling me, Arjun. That's it. You see, I started to tremble. My legs were just shivering. I put the bed, you know, on, I mean, put the Bible on the bed. I ran outside and I didn't know what happened. I said, from where did this light come? And how come from the light I hear a voice? Now, I wouldn't say this is some kind of literal voice, but it was, this voice was connected to my spirit. And it was very clear. And, you know, my face is like, I'm in a kind of shock. And there comes one neighbor who never used to believe in a God just like me. And we both used to watch every day, you know, WWF. You know, Hulk Hogan was my, that guy with the big mustache, you know. So every day we used to go and sit down and watch WWF. That day I didn't go. So this brother comes searching for me. He said, "Hey Arjun, where are you?" When he came inside, I'm in a shock. I'm just looking at him. You know what he said? He never believed in a God, but he said, "Hey, what happened to you, man? It is as though you have seen a God," he said. A man who doesn't believe in God, he looked at my face and said, "What happened to you? Did you see God?" I said, "Brother, if I tell you I saw, will you believe?" And he said, "Oh, come on, don't joke, man. Come on, Hulk Hogan is winning. Come on, come on." I said, "Brother, please, today I'm not coming." He said, "What happened?" I said, "Please, don't disturb me." He said, are you not well?" I said, "Yes, just spare me today." I went and I was really wondering what happened to me. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, after that light, when I started to read the Bible, I started to love the words in the Bible. Before that, I started to read the Bible in hatred to find something fault with the Bible. When the light hit my heart, I saw the light, everything changed. Now, automatically I stopped being friends with all the worldly friends. I started to cut them down. I was no more drinking beer and, drinks. And I was not a drunkard, actually. But we call that a social drinking. Many of you know that. But I stopped all my friendship. But I was actually smoking. But I was trying to quit my smoke. You see, every day trying to, little by little, I was trying to... my cigarettes were being... I smoked cigarettes very less. But still, I couldn't leave the habit. From this incident, another 3 months... It was December 31st and my mother decided to take me to a Pentecostal church that year. Now, here comes the temptation. All my friends who had separated suddenly come to me on December 27th, 1992. I think 91, 92, yes. And they tell me, "Hey Arjun, we are going to have a New Year party. So many young, beautiful girls are going to come, man." Now, this was really a big temptation for me. Because I've never danced with a girl before. I always wanted to dance with girls, but I never got a chance. So I said, "Oh, maybe this is a good chance for me." One side, my mother is telling, "Arjun, you have to come to the church." And here my friends are saying, "You have to come to dance with girls. We are going to have a nice, but wonderful New Year service." So the devil is pulling me. Jesus is pulling me. Now where to go? I decided, okay, I will go to a Methodist church. You know, Methodist church, they finish the service by 12 o'clock. Pentecostal people keep you till 4 in the morning. I'll finish my Methodist church. Maybe at 11:45, I'll tell my friend, "You come to the Methodist church, pick me up at 11:45. So from there, I can go to the dancing club and I can come home and tell my mommy, I went to church." You know, when this thing was going on in my mind and I've been dragged by one side by the devil, the other side the Holy Spirit is speaking through my mother. Something, you know, that last day, something early in the morning, 31st morning, the guy comes, "Hey, what is your plan, Arjun?" I said, "I'm not coming. I'm going to church with my mother." I said, "I'm not feeling well, man. Something is, you know, I don't know. I didn't even know that was the conviction of sin. You know, I didn't even know the word called conviction of sin." I said, "Something, I don't know. I'm feeling so sad. Please don't disturb me." They were all so discouraged. They said, "Come on, man. You are a person who's always lively. We wanted you to be there." I said, "See, please don't disturb me." That night I went to the church. And my mother's also very scared. You know, sometimes I may run away. So she's holding my hand and we went to the church. And the church is on a main road. You know, so like the bikes are passing by and everything. It was a very small church. Then I told my mother, "Mommy, you go inside. I'll come back in a few minutes." She said, "Hey, don't run away, huh?" I said, "No, no. I promise. I didn't go for dancing, no. But I promise. I have something to do." When I started my journey, my mother doesn't know. I had one cigarette and a matchbox inside. Let me tell you this. I took the cigarette outside the church. and took the matchbox, took the puff, and here, with smoking, I'm speaking to Jesus. I think I'm the only one person alive who ever smoked and spoke to Jesus, and yet he has kept me alive. Now, what I'm telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I've come to the end of my life. From my childhood, I've never had a peaceful childhood. Always, I have suffered. Now, I don't know. I went from one temple to another temple, worshiped idols. Then I came to a place where I said, there is no God. And now, Lord, I started to read the Bible to find fault with the Bible. But now, I don't know, I'm just reading the Bible. I love to read the Bible. I don't know what is happening. But one thing I ask you. I've heard that you have done so many miracles. You have, you know, you open the eyes of the blind. And even today you're doing the same works. But one thing, let me ask you, Lord. If you can change me, I will give my life to you. I don't know what made me say that. And, you know, I put the cigarette down, crushed it under my feet. I went inside the church. And as I was there, the pastor started to, you know, when the songs are going on, it was very beautiful. In the time of preaching, I actually went to sleep. You know, நம்ம அந்த ஓல்டு சேர் இருக்கும், இந்த இரும்பு சேர். Now, you know, we had this old steel chairs, you know, the old ones. So as I was sitting, I just went dozed off. The pastor's preaching and I'm sleeping nicely. And suddenly there was a kind of electric shock. The shock was so much that I just, you know, from my seat, I just jumped and I got up. And I'm turning like this and looking at everybody, and all the whole congregation is looking, pastor is looking at me. What happened? Then my uncle was next to me. He said, hey, what happened? Why did he jump like this? Get up from the chair. No, there was some current shock, some electric shock. He said, there is no electricity. Sit up. So I'm wondering what happened to me. You see, let me tell you, after that electric shock, my sleep was gone. And now, the pastor who's preaching, because I didn't even know which scripture he took, what he preached. Now he's saying, the pastor is saying, there are many people, young people who have come here, but God has a message for one guy here. He said, hey, now the pastor is saying, when you were smoking under the tree, you know, I used to smoke under a tree. I was watching you. And here, it was as though my stomach will just come out. I said, how did this pastor know that I was smoking under the tree? While you were going with your friends to drink, I was watching you in the bar. And he mentioned one incident nobody knows. Because once when I was smoking, one of my known pastors came. So I was afraid he will go and tell my mother that I'm smoking. So I went and hid behind the tree. Now this man who has not seen me saying, you see, one day when you are smoking, a person known to you saw you, so you were scared and you went and hid behind the tree. That time, I saw you. You know, I'm really trembling. And he said, but I have chosen you. Today, if you give your life, I'm there to save you. I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said, and he said, the pastor said, now the message, what I've given to that young man, I've given. Now let's continue with the message. And he started to preach the gospel. And I'm sitting in my chair, shaking, shaking, and shaking. And the last service at about 4 o'clock in the morning, when they all stood up for the last final service, that is when I lifted up my hands and I said, I'm giving my life to the Lord. As I said that, I will never forget what happened. My eyes were closed, but a vision of a man. I'm standing on a mountain, a small hill, and there is a man hanging on the cross. And his body is torn apart. His face is torn apart. You know, I think the best version that any movie could give was Passion of Christ, right? But what I saw was worse than that. And I could see, as I'm standing under the cross, I could see that blood is just coming. It is as a sprinkling on me. And here I'm crying in front of everybody. I'm saying, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. I'm screaming and shouting. And everybody are looking at me. I got so scared that I opened my eyes, and yet the vision has not gone. It's there. I closed my eyes, he's there. Until today, he is there. When I want to see him, he is there. This is the one thing which is actually leading me till today. And after that morning, it's been 91, 92. Today it is 2025. Let me tell you, I cannot stand the smell of cigarette. Even if some person who smokes, he comes next to me, I just move off. I cannot. I feel like vomiting. Because the Lord changed my heart. What I want to tell everyone is, all of you may have something you need to change in your life. You have been trying and trying and trying. Let me tell you, nobody can change you, but only the Lord Jesus Christ can change you. When you receive the right experience of the Holy Ghost, when you receive the right revelation, when that light comes and strikes you, that's gone.
Amen.
Once for all. Hallelujah. That is how I came to the Lord. Then I was in the Pentecostal church. And after I came to the Pentecostal church, you know, whenever I go to the Pentecostal church, I could see pastors. That is the time when the true Pentecostal churches, which once upon a time really preached for Christ, there is coming a falling away. That was the season. 90s was the season when the Pentecostal churches were all falling away from faith. Wherever I go, pastors were preaching about making money and business. I said, what is going on? So one day, I think about 1 year I was in a Pentecostal church from the age of 17 to 18. Because when I met Jesus, it was 17 years old. And in my 18th year, you know, I'm in a Pentecostal church. I was part of a very big Pentecostal church in my city. So in my dream again, I'm kneeling down before the pulpit in my dream and I'm praying. And suddenly, there is somebody standing near the door and saying, hey Arjun, come out. Jesus has come to see you. So I'm telling him, Jesus has come to see me, tell him to come inside his church. That boy is looking at me, that person, that messenger, I don't know who he is. He's saying, Jesus is telling that he will not come inside, but he's calling you out. I'm so much confused. I said, what has happened to Jesus now? I said, anyway, he is calling me. Jesus has come to see me. So many people are here. So many people are praying. But how come Jesus is calling me? Okay, I will go. I went out. When I went out, the person who called me, that guy, that person was no more. I'm standing alone with the Lord. And let me tell you, if Jesus comes today in this, wearing the same kind of robe, Singapore will not recognize him. Singapore society has become so much high-five today. They will not recognize a simple Jesus. Now he was wearing a simple white robe. I could recognize a beard and hair. So simple. So I'm standing like this. I said, Lord, you know, I'm bowing down. I said, Lord, shall I bring a chair for you? He's saying, no, sit down. And the Lord whom I saw sat down on the floor. And I'm surprised. What? He's not even sitting on a chair. Because the Lord is proving to me I'm down to earth. You know, I'm for the lowest of all. Then I'm looking at him like that. I said, Lord, what is that you call me? He's not speaking anything. He's just looking at me. And his eyes were so powerful, let me tell you. The eyes, the love was so powerful. I feel like crying. So I'm looking at him. And I didn't have specs in those days. I'm looking at him and I just covering my eyes. Because I don't want to cry before Jesus. It's so powerful. I'm saying, why? Why am I feeling like crying? And it so happened, I'm asking him, Lord, why did you come? For which the Lord is saying, I came searching for you. When he said that, just like a little baby, I went and fell on him. Hugged him. I'm looking a little taller than Jesus in my dream. But I hugged him like a little baby and I'm crying and crying and crying and crying. Whole night I could feel the hands of the Lord patting my back. You know, and I was crying whole night. I said, Lord, you came for me. You came seeking my lost soul. You came searching. Thank you, Jesus. And in the morning, when I woke up, I saw my pillow is wet with my tears. You know what I did? That very day, I stopped going to the Pentecostal church. I did not know the message. I did not know Brother Branham's message. I was not introduced to Brother Gant's ministry. But I said, where my Lord is not there, I cannot be there. And I need to go where my Lord is. I need to follow him there. Now I asked the Lord, Lord, you told me to come out of the church. Now what should I do? And something inspired me to go for a prayer for 1 month. And 1 month, I was sitting in my home. We had a borewell, you know, we call it as borewell. We had a small room for that. So I used to go to that room, sit down there, take my guitar. I was just learning to play guitar, you know. So I used to play my guitar, sit down there, just pray and pray and pray. Said, Lord, now that you told me to come out of the church, now I don't know where to go. You show me the way. I was crying for 1 month. Every day I go there in the morning and night I return back to my room to sleep. That's it. Sometimes I eat, sometimes I don't eat. And as I was doing it for a month, after 1 month, one of a gardener, we had a gardener in a home at the time. It was my own home. Now we don't have it anymore. I went, that gardener brings me a cassette player. In that it was written Thirst, the title. And the message was William Marion Brenner. When I heard it, I knew this is the truth. Something said, this is the truth. This is where you have come. So I started to search. I asked the gardener, who gave you this cassette? He said, there is one evangelist here. I said, I make an appointment with him. I want to meet him. That night, I see a dream again. I'm standing near a river and a man is coming and telling me, you need to be baptized in Jesus Christ. In my dream, I'm getting confused. Already when I was in the Pentecostal church, I was baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, how is that again? What is this baptism in Jesus' name? I got up in the morning, trying to search scriptures. I couldn't find anything. Now, I go and meet that evangelist. And then he introduces the truth to me. Hallelujah. And that is when my eyes were opened to the truth. Immediately, I told him, brother, please baptize me today. And I got baptized. And let me tell you, heaven came down. And glory filled my heart. I said, Lord, this is what I was seeking. Thank you for leading me. Nobody, I met Jesus much before the message was introduced to me. That is why I tell the Branhamite people, don't tell me that God will speak only to Brother Branham. I met my Jesus much before I came to the truth. It was his hand which led me to the truth. You see? It was his Holy Spirit which makes me identify those who are being called by God. For 10 months I was with this man. But what happened was, this guy was a, I didn't know he was a Branhamite. I didn't even know that there was something called as Branhamism. So I was so thirsty for the Holy Ghost that I asked him, brother, in the Pentecostal churches, you know, I'm so confused because in Pentecostal churches, you know how in the name of, Holy Spirit, they all speak in tongues. So I said, brother, all that they have taught me is Lama, Shabaha, Labasa, Labala. I said, brother, this is not the way. I know that. You know, every time I have to go recite these verses, repeat it again and again. La ba sha ma ha sa ba. I said, this is not tongues. So they made me believe that This is the Holy Ghost. Brother, please teach me. I need to know what the true Holy Ghost is all about. And this man, you know what he said? Brother, you read Brother Branham's book, that is the Holy Ghost. And I thought, by reading Brother Branham's book, I will receive the Holy Ghost. So I went to read 100 books, 200 books, 7 fields, 7 church ages. Yes, I received a lot of knowledge, no doubt about it. But still, experience was lacking. And it was about nearly from 200 to 300 books, 350, 400. I said, where is the Holy Ghost? Still, there are a lot of things lacking in me. I'm lacking experience.
Amen.
At a period of time, for 8 months, let me tell you, this was one thing which the Holy Spirit, when He came into my life, He made me read the Bible. But after reading Brother Branham's books, I came to a time, a period of time for 8 months, I stopped reading the Bible. Please don't say amen for this. I stopped reading the Bible. I was just reading books. And I'm thinking, what happened to me? There was a man hanging on the cross. That vision is gone now. Always Brother Branham comes there. He's replaced with Branham. I said, this is not right. My heart is not happy. I said, Lord, I know this is the truth, but somewhere, something is missing. I need to come out of this. And as I was seriously asking the Lord, that's when 10 or 15 books, I'm not very sure, of Brother Branham's. We had even had that old finale. You know, the yellow color book, right? We don't print it anymore. Huh? Okay, yeah, it's all white now. But the old finale, the yellow color book, you know. Along with that finale, about 10 to 15 books, I think. Some other brother had asked for those books. But the time the books arrived, this brother had gone to Mumbai and settled down there. So, the local pastor said, brother, this was for a brother called Thomas, but now he's not there. You can read these books. And this is the first time I was introduced to the fivefold ministry. I tell you, Brother Gann's ministry is something different, which I would like to share some other time. But after I came out of the confusion of Branhamism, that's when I wrote to Brother Gann, and I wrote about 27 questions from the Bible. And then Brother Gann said, I had just come from Africa and you have asked me so many questions. I cannot write it down. So he sent us a mail. He said, so we have a letter, not mail, letter in those days. You know, we didn't know anything about email and things like that. So he wrote a letter and he said, so I have sent you a parcel. We have a cassette. I've spoken, given you all the answers in that, all your 27 questions. And that was an eye-opening for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think that was my foundation. Now I'm clear with the message. I'm clear with the fivefold ministry. Now I'm very much clear. I knew now the Lord has been leading me perfectly. From a light. Then Jesus appears. I see the vision of Jesus hanging on the cross. Then I see Jesus calling me out of denominational church. Then I'm introduced to the Elijah ministry. And now comes the fivefold ministry. My heart is content. Then Brother Gann told, you know, Brother Gann told me to meet some brothers in North India. And when I went there, to my surprise, it was that those brothers told me, Brother Gann is coming, we are going to have a convention. I said, wow. I said, Brother Gann told me to meet you people, but I did not know there was a convention. He said, yes, Brother Gann is coming. And that's when the 5 days convention, that was something else. Praise be to God. And that was the time when I realized I'd been called by God. And when I was called by God, I was doing my marine engineering. But when I realized my call, I had to forsake that. That is what I had to give, a price to the Lord Jesus Christ. I left my marine engineering. And Brother Gann advised me, Shadrach, you go and pray for 3 days. And God will speak to your heart. I'm going to pray for you in Singapore. And I prayed for 3 days and the Lord confirmed my call. You see, and after that I started my ministry and I'm here today. Hallelujah. The rest of my testimony, I will share it next time.